Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Today we're going to conclude our Psalms teaching series, and we're going to seek to understand today the essential nature of God's Word in our life. We're going to be in Psalm 119, and I would invite you to stand. That's why I didn't want you to get too comfortable, those who are able, for the reading of God's Word. The text is on the screen. There's a YouVersion event created if you're a Bible app user, and of course you can follow along in your copy of Scripture. Psalm 119, the first 8 verses, says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all of their heart. They do no wrong, but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." This is the essential nature of God's Word for our lives. You can be seated this morning. I had to step out of the room just a moment ago. Did y'all talk about smuggling food into a movie theater a little bit ago? Yes? All right, so show of hands, who in fact has, this is confession time, who in fact has taken food into the movie theater? All right, you bunch of criminals. Y'all know that's not right, right? All right, we're going to continue this. We're going to do something together, and all that's required is an honest answer, okay? Can you do that? You've already started. This is a judgment-free zone this morning. So you've already confessed to smuggling food into the movie theater, whatever your motives were. Somebody in first service says, "I had 3 kids. What else was I supposed to do?" So I got it. How about this one? Show of hands today. When you see this sign, how many people are driving 58, 59, 60 or more? Y'all are already. All right. Who's going above 55 when you see this sign? If you didn't raise your hand, make sure you come back next week. We're talking about telling the truth. All right, so almost all of us routinely look at this sign, a law issued by the state of Virginia, and we knowingly, intentionally do something different, don't we? What is that about us? What is that? I confess to you, as I was traveling back from District Assembly this week in beautiful Buckingham, Virginia, we were on a 2-lane road with this posted speed limit on it, and I was getting frustrated with the person in front of me for doing 55 in a 55. I'm telling you, this is confession. It's just what it is. But like, there's a part of me going, can't we go faster? What is that about us? Why do we do that? Let's try another one. How about this? So like Hulu, Netflix, Sling, YouTube, you name it. There's a 2-part to this question. How many of you have either given, what are y'all raising your hands for? Good. Let's pray. Okay. How many of you have either given your login information to someone so they could use your service, or B, requested someone's login so you could use their service? All right. Now let's think about what we're doing in that moment. We are using a service, or we're giving a service that we haven't paid for. I hate to tell you this, that's stealing. Okay? Hang on, this message might be for you. But you see, we do this kind of stuff all the time. And so here's three everyday examples that reveal that for many of us, we have a habit, a propensity of looking at a law designed to keep us safe or rules to keep people honest and fair, and we decide to do something different because we know better or we just don't like it. And we do this all the time. Now, I know that we can have a laugh together about a lot of these things, but other times it gets a lot more serious, and that's really my concern for us today. Here's what I'm concerned, and this is my question. As followers of Jesus, do we ever allow that practice, that 55-mile-an-hour sign practice, do we ever allow that practice and perspective to come over into our relationship with God's Word? Right? So we see a 55 sign going down 33, and we do 60, whatever you're doing, and we think it's okay. We do it every day. Do we bring that same approach to this? Do we look at what this is telling us and the life it's calling us to live and decide that we know better anyway? Maybe we disobey a little or a lot. But do we do that? As we continue in our teaching series in Psalms today, we're going to see that from every vantage point in life, the Word of God is essential for our life. And really, that's what it's about. Do we view this as essential or optional? How do you view it? What would this past week say your answer is? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, maybe we need to ask forgiveness for going 62. I'm not sure how that works out. But Lord, that aside this morning, we want to look into your word, into Psalm 119. And Lord, we want to have you challenge us, Lord. Search us about our perspective on your word. About what we truly believe. Not what our mouth would say, but about what our life says we believe about your word. So Lord, may this text today become a mirror that we look into. That we would have honesty, Lord, with you and with ourselves. And hear your invitation to wholeness and fullness and life lived in and through your word. So Lord, will you move today, speak to us, convince us, Lord, and call us into intimacy and closeness with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is wrapping up a four-week journey that we've taken in the book of Psalms. If you missed a week, you want to go back, they're all on our website recorded. I'd invite you to do that. The book of Psalms as a whole is a large collection of poetry that was written across a span of about 1,000 years by various different authors, many of which were intended to be set to music, and so it forms a sort of hymnal of sorts. The content of these poems, the poetry there, covers a large array of our human experience. In our relationship with the Lord. And so really our goal in this series is not that we would just learn more about a specific psalm, but that we would be empowered and encouraged to dive into the Psalms as a regular part of our relationship and walk with the Lord. As we wrap up our series today, we have saved the biggest for last. Now you might be used to saving the best for last. Well, we have saved the biggest for last today. And I say that because Psalm 119 is the single largest chapter in the entire Bible. Before you start to panic, we're not going to cover the whole thing. It takes a while. But Psalm 119 is the largest chapter in the entire Bible. If you look at the NIV, there are 2,445 words in Psalm 119. For comparison's sake, if you look at the book of Philippians in the New Testament, one of my favorites written by Paul, there is only 1,629 words. So what you see is that this one psalm is bigger, is longer than entire books of the Bible. And so there's an interesting thing about this. Even though it is so long, it is very organized. It is actually organized into an acrostic where, you know, you have a word or letters down one side and each start with that letter. Well, Psalm 119 has 22 sections, each containing 8 verses each, and each verse begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it would be like if we started out at the letter A and had 8 verses about God's word that started out with the letter A, and it goes all the way down through the alphabet. Now remember, this was written in Hebrew, so you won't see it that way as you look at your text this morning. But it was written this way so that it would be easy to memorize. Yes, I said memorize. 2,445 words. It's challenging. Anyway, that's the way it's shaped. Another thing that'll help us as we begin to study today is that there, depending on how you look at it in the original language, there's 8 to 10 different terms that all point to the Word of God. You're going to hear things like law, statute, ways, precepts, decrees, word, promises, command. All of these things have nuance in their meaning, but if you zoom out, we should all just understand it for our study today, that they're pointing to the written expression of God's Word. That's the gist of what they're all pointing us to, is that what we're seeing, what we're reading and understanding, this is the expression, the written word of the Lord. So with that laid out, that's enough information. Let's jump into it. Let's begin at verse 1. It says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways." We're going to look at the first 8 verses today because in many ways they capture the essence of the whole psalm. And it's fascinating that it begins talking about the blessed life. Now, if you were with us for part 1 of the psalm series, we talked a lot about the blessed life. This same idea holds true here, is that the blessing that this word is talking about is not a superficial promise of luxury and lavish vacations. The blessed life in the scriptures, and especially in Psalm 119, is a life of deep-seated joy and peace. It's a life of fulfillment regardless of what circumstances come our way. This is the picture of blessing in the scriptures. It's a life marked by peace and God's presence, and it's a life lived according to God's word. And this life, if you drill down into these couple verses, is lived a few specific ways. It says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless." Your translation might say pure. "Blessed are those who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes." What you see is a picture of someone who is living their everyday, ordinary life from a place of relationship and devotion to the Lord and his word. That's the blessed life. That's what we're seeing. This person is not just someone who knows the word, they live the word. They live it. The way they talk, the way they act, the way they relate to others is a life lived according to God's word. And friends, this is not just a life that is only about discipline. It's a matter of devotion. And that's what I love in verse 2. He says, "They seek him," speaking to the Lord, "they seek the Lord with all of their heart." And friends, what's happening right here at the beginning of this massive work talking about God's word is that the psalmist is showing us that loving and having a relationship with God's word and obeying it are hand in hand with relationship with the Lord. So what he's saying is, like, to love the Lord is to love his word. To love his word is to love the Lord. They're together because this is an expression of who God is. And I wonder if we just push pause right here and we looked into the mirror of this text. Is this how we see the scriptures? Do we see this as essential? Do we see this as God's expression of himself for us? Is that how we see it? Or do we see this as some ancient history book? A bunch of rules designed to just take all the fun right out of life. How do you see God's word today? That's what Psalm 119 is helping us to see. How do you see God's word? You see, it's showing us that far from being ancient or out of date or a rule book to follow, the scriptures are a direct revelation of who God is, of how he thinks and how he loves. And we're being invited to hold that as essential in our life with him. Let's continue. Verse 4, he says, you have laid down precepts that are to be partially obeyed. You have laid down precepts that are to be what? Fully obeyed. Let's go back to this sign for just a second. I've already confessed to you, I'm in the over 55 mile an hour group. All the time. Don't judge me. Well, our daughter's 5 and a half. She is becoming quite attentive to things in her environment, including our driving. Y'all know what a backseat driver is, right? How many have had one in a car seat? Yeah, okay, so I'm not alone. Well, so here's how this happens. We're riding along 340, 33, whatever, and you'll hear a question from the back seat. What's the speed limit? Well, it's 55, honey. Well, then you see that little head boop around the seat to look at the speedometer. How fast are we going? Well, we're going 60 miles an hour. Are you going over the speed limit? No, but you said the limit was 55. Listen, you sit back there and mind your own business. The truth of the matter is, a 5 and a half-year-old has a much better understanding about what this sign means than I do. Yeah. What I appreciate about verse 4 in our teaching text today is that it makes it crystal clear that we cannot take that same 55-mile-an-hour speed limit sign approach to the scriptures. We can't do it. We can't do it. Verse 4, he's saying, you, he's speaking to the Lord. He's saying, you, Lord, have laid down precepts, instructions. You've outlined our life and living, and they are to be fully and completely obeyed. Friends, that's part of what it means to see the Word of God as essential, is to live by it. And so what Psalm 119 is giving us, is showing us, is a relationship with God's Word that does not allow us to make our own judgments about it. It does not allow us to be selective about what we think is important. It doesn't allow us to be selective about what we obey. He's saying, no, it's to be fully obeyed, because it's been given by the Lord. And again, if we pull up that mirror metaphor again, right? And we look into this passage and we say, Lord, do I believe that your word is to be fully obeyed? Do I believe that? Do I believe that the scriptures are to be fully authoritative in my life? Do I believe that I should take the word into my finances and how I spend my money? Do I believe that the word is to be fully obeyed in my relationships and how I view marriage and sexuality? Is the word authoritative in how I love widows and refugees and foreigners who live among us? Do I allow the scriptures, the Bible, to inform, to have authority over my mental health? Do I allow the scriptures to speak truth into fear and anxiety and depression? Friends, that's the question this text is asking us. Do we see it as the authority? Because there's a real temptation when we get into this to do 62 and a 55, isn't it? The invitation is to see God's word as essential, to be fully obeyed. And friends, how you're living is already answering that question in your life. So what I believe today is an invitation. An invitation that we would reconsider our relationship with God's Word. How we view it. How how we approach it, how we allow it to inform our lives. That's Psalm 119. Let's listen to how the psalmist concludes verse 5 through 8. He says, notice the shift in this text. He says, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. What's he doing? What's he realize? This is impossible apart from relationship with the Lord. He says, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Not utterly forsake me. I think if we spent some honest time reflecting on our relationship with God's word and how we are doing and living that out, I think if we were humble and honest, we might arrive at a place feeling much like the psalmist, realizing that living life by the word is hard, that there are times where it's piercing to read the truth of the scriptures. I think that's what's happening here. But but the psalmist doesn't just shrug it off, does he? He doesn't shrug it off and say it's too hard or it's not relevant or I know better. Rather than doing that, he's crying out to the Lord, Lord, I want to obey. I want to live a life shaped by your word. I want to know you through your word. Lord, I commit to praising you even as I step out on this journey. Even when you call me out, Lord, I'm going to praise you. Lord, I will obey. Just don't leave me. Don't abandon me in my failures. Don't forsake me. Friends, that's the honesty of Psalm 119. Of realizing that the life we're called to and life lived by God's word is not something that we can do on our own. It's in relationship with Jesus that is going to happen. Do you see God's word as essential today for your life, for your walk with the Lord? This psalm continues for about 21 more sections. Much like this, each one is looking to the Lord. It's holding God's word up in a high regard as essential for life and relationship with him. I would encourage you, it is long. We've talked about that. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to read it. I would encourage you to do that this week. Do it with a highlighter and just highlight the things that jump out to you out of the psalm. And I would just invite you to allow it to challenge you in your time and read it in studying this week. As we finish up today, I want us to turn over to Matthew 8. I don't have this on slides, so I apologize. You'll have to turn into your copy of Scripture if you want to follow along. I'll read it, but we've come through this little bit of study, this diving deep. You've got the whole expanse of the entire psalm talking about God's word as essential, and there's a very real question to go, so what? What does this look like on Wednesday? Right? I mean, that's something I've been processing and wrestling with. Like, what does it look like to live this out? To live a life holding God's word as essential? And I have thought about this and prayed about this so much this week. And I thought about Matthew 8. So I want to read that text with you and we'll unpack it. I promise it's connected. Matthew 8, we're going to begin at verse 23, if you're there, want to ride along. It says, then he, Jesus, got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. And you're thinking, this is another boat story, isn't it? It's not. Just hold with me. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The first Nazarene nap right there. The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. What on earth does that have to do with Psalm 119? For me, everything. Late January, early February 2025, this year. I came through that passage in a regular Bible reading plan that I follow. Just, I need a plan to get through Scripture or I'll be all over the place. So I came through this. It's a passage I've read a lot. I've studied it before. I think I've even preached on it before. But there was something different about the time I came through it earlier this year. This time I was not in a great place, mentally, emotionally. I was wrestling with God with some things, asking some questions of Him. Questions like, Lord, what am I doing here? Will this ever get any better? Where are you? Y'all know those questions? Y'all ask the Lord those? Not to be over dramatic, but sometimes you pray like, Lord, I'm dying here. Yes, I don't know why I asked that in a northern accent, but that's where I was when I came across this text. I don't know how to tell you this. I don't know how to tell you this any other way. The Lord spoke to me that morning through that passage. Was it an audible voice? Was it thoughts in your head? I don't know, and quite frankly, I don't care. It was the Lord. You work it out how the Lord speaks in your life. It'll be okay. The Lord got a hold of me that day. It was right here. It was on that page. Right there. I don't normally travel with this Bible. I wanted to bring it today because it's right there. And there's the notes that I wrote. As the Lord came out of that passage and grabbed a hold of me, He said, I've got you. Because the question that came into my mind as I read that passage in the midst of all that's going on, it was this question: do I believe that God is going to see me through this storm or not? That's what the disciples wondered, right? They look around and, Jesus, we're dying here. Don't you care? He wakes up and says, you of little faith. And then he turns to the storm and says, be still. And in that moment, in that passage I read, I don't know how many times, the God of the universe grabbed a hold of me and says, are we going to go through this storm or not? So what does it look like for God's word to be essential? It looks like Matthew 8 for me. It looks like God reaching out. Sometimes He's going to shake you. And sometimes He's going to embrace you. That's life with God's word. And friends, it's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I'm special. It's not because I got all my junk figured out. Lord knows I'd never get anywhere. This is the life. This is what we find. This is how God moves when we commit as His people, as people who love Him and people of His word. He commits. He's there. And He meets you in those places. Sometimes He's going to shake you. And we need that. Sometimes He's going to hug you and say, I got you. Friends, if we're not in His word, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. So this whole thing is not about, oh, here's the pastor just wailing on us about reading the Bible. work, it's only because God does something when we do. That's what I want us to be. That's what I want for your life. Is that you can come and hold up the Bible beside your lazy boy and go, Pastor, it was right here. It was right here. That's what I want for you. That's what the psalmist wants for you. That's life with God's word as an essential part. So will you do it? Will you commit? Because friends, that doesn't happen every day. It's not every day that you have this mountaintop experience that you feel like the Lord just squeezed the daylights out of you. Some days you read your Bible reading plan and you go, huh, well, I'm late for work. I gotta go. Look, I'm just gonna be honest. There's days like that. There's days you don't understand what your Lord, what is up? What? But friends, don't give up. When you're stressed, when you're depressed, when you're anxious, when you're asking questions, don't give up. Keep leaning in and praying and seeking the Lord through His Word. He'll meet you there. He'll meet you there. We're going to conclude by praying a little bit of this psalm. I just want you to know, like, if you don't have a Bible today, don't leave without one. I like paper. I use electronic, but I like paper because you can highlight and make notes. And so today, if you don't have a paper copy of God's Word, there's 9 or 10 of them up here. Just come get one. Please don't leave without it. There's journals there that you can have. There's little prompts that if you're not sure how to start reading, it walks you through how to read God's Word. You think, well, Pastor, where do I even start? I would say two things. Start where you're at. If you don't have a rhythm of reading God's Word, don't say, I'm going to sit down for an hour tomorrow. It's a great thought. Start with something realistic. Set 5 minutes aside, 10 minutes aside, where you can be quiet, where your phone's not dinging, and just read. And the second thing I would say is start in the Gospels. Start in the Gospel of Luke. I'm all about Genesis. I love it. But if that's the place you start, it's really difficult. And so I would just say, if you're starting, you're brand new to this thing, jump in the Gospel of Luke and start reading. And it's not about, oh, I read 5 chapters today or I didn't get one done. It's about meeting the author of the Scriptures there, the Lord Himself. So read and pray. It's not a race. Lean in and listen. Pay attention when that question comes up. Are we going to get through this storm or not? It might be the Lord's word for you. Would you stand with me today? We're going to pray. I'm going to read and pray. The words, part of the words of this psalm from the Message paraphrase version. Let's pray together. You, Lord, have prescribed us the right way to live. And now you expect us as your people to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping the course that you have set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart, Lord. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Lord, please don't ever walk off and leave me. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you for that morning you met me in Matthew 8. inviting us to be into your word, not as a religious exercise, but Lord, as devotion and relationship with you. So Lord, I pray that as we look into this text today, that this mirror, Lord, that you would show us, Lord, where are we doing 62 and a 55 when it comes to your word? Lord, will you show us those places and call us and guide us in repentance and aligning our life with your word? And Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people to hold your word in high regard as essential, Lord, our lives. Lord, we can't live that life. We can't hold your word that high alone. So Lord, we want to say yes, and we're trusting you to do what only you can. Lord, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.